Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's hard to believe, but Easter was 10 weeks ago. With the hot temperatures and 4th of July next weekend, summer is in full swing. But I'd like you to think back to the gospel readings from the days we call Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. Think of what it must have been like to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus during those days. He was betrayed by one of the inner circle, someone that the rest of the group trusted. He was arrested publicly, whipped, beaten, flogged, spit on, laughed at, ridiculed, and mocked. Though innocent of all of the charges, when they finally got tired of him, Jesus was put to death. A horrible death. Death on a cross. After they made sure he was dead by sticking a spear in his side, he was taken down from the cross and sealed in a tomb. All of this while the disciples watched, the boldest too afraid to even admit knowing the man. I can't even imagine the shattered dreams, the disappointment, the hope that was lost in the minds of the disciples of Jesus on that Friday, so many years ago. But long before that, the prophet Elijah faced his own type of disappointment, fear, and disillusionment. As we see in today's text and the verses before it, Elijah had come to the conclusion, to the breaking point, maybe. There was nothing more that he could do. He had just come off a mountain high, so to speak, the amazing events at Mount Carmel, where he was God's instrument in proving that Yahweh was God and that Baal was not. And the people with one voice declared that the Lord is God, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And they slaughtered all of the Baal prophets, 450 to be exact. And it seemed that things were on the right track. But instead of becoming a believer, the wicked queen vows revenge on Elijah to have him put to death. And it shakes him to the very core. How soon Elijah forgot his mountaintop experience. And it's not like Elijah hadn't seen trouble before, but this time was different. This time Elijah was afraid. He flees south, abandons his servant, and goes farther yet into the wilderness, hoping to escape the clutches of the wicked queen. And it is here that Elijah stops, unable to go any farther. Sits down under a broom tree and says, "It is enough," and asks to die. Elijah is done. I'm sure many of us have been where Elijah is. There are a thousand reasons to feel fear, hopelessness, and disappointment in our lives. It may be our kids, our jobs, society, culture, government, our health, church, traffic, gas prices, getting older, our spouse, not enough time, too much time, too fat, too skinny, unemployment, war, the LGBTQIA plus agenda, guns, too many or not enough, anxiety, depression, health care costs, nursing home costs, retirement, or just trying to be a Christian in a world that is decidedly anti-Christian. We may feel disillusioned to the point of believing that our Christian labors or even our faith is hopeless. As I was doing my preparation for this sermon, one of the resources I use has this great analogy that I'd like to share with you. It's about King Henry V of England and his great quote, "Once more unto the breach." King Henry V of England stands outside the French town of Harfleur. He and his men have crossed the channel, pursuing what Henry has been convinced of his rightful claim, the Kingdom of France. They're on their way to Paris, but Harfleur stands in the way. They besiege the city, and they're striving to scale the walls. The English soldiers are tired and weary, disillusioned, and some may even be fearful and ready to quit. But the good king knows that it's now or never. He knows he must encourage his men to keep on going, to try one more time, to take the city while the opportunity is still there. He must rally his men. As Shakespeare tells it, Henry gives a speech to stir their English blood. And in that rallying speech, he now utters the most famous words, "Once more unto the breach." He's saying, "Get back at it and let's take this castle. Now is the time for action. There's still more work to be done." And now we use that rallying cry for all sorts of things, important and mundane. It's been used as a book title, a poem title, a movie title, and even the title of a Star Wars episode. Regardless of what has been used before, the point is still valid today as it was for the army of King Henry V those many years ago. Even though we may feel beat down and tired, discouraged, and feel like giving up, God still has work for us to do, just like he had work for Elijah to do those many years ago. No matter how Elijah felt, God hadn't abandoned Elijah. And Elijah, as he sat in that cave, certainly was not correct in his estimation of the situation. Elijah felt that he was the only one left, a lone ranger, so to speak, and that everyone else had abandoned him and God, and that the people were out to kill him. God allowed him to rant, get his concerns off his chest, voice his complaints, and after a show of God's almighty power, God set Elijah straight. "There are 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees haven't bowed to Baal and whose mouth have not kissed him." God assures Elijah that he's not alone and that God is sending him equipped and empowered to do the work that God has given him to do. It was clear that Elijah was really feeling discouraged as he fled from Jezebel. And I think we all know that feeling also. But God had a rallying cry, and God had vital tasks for Elijah yet to complete. Like Elijah, our situations can sometimes seem pretty grim and hopeless, at least in our own estimation. But God has not abandoned us. God is still in control. He is victorious for us in Christ Jesus. As the kids at VBS this past week learned, our God is an awesome God. We have an almighty ally as we go once more unto the breach in the work that he has for us to do. When we feel unable to go even one more day, the Lord reminds us that we have been redeemed by the holy blood of Jesus Christ, and therefore he will always be with us. Just like God fed Elijah, he feeds us and nourishes us with his word and sacraments. His word feeds and soothes our souls. The sacraments strengthen our faith, forgive our trespasses, and grants eternal life with him. He invites us to bring our concerns to him in prayer, encouraging a dialogue that supports our relationship with him. All this he does out of grace and mercy and love that he has for us, not because of any merit on our part, but because we have been reconciled to him through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we have work given to do by him, despite how we may feel. God promises that we go not alone, but with him by our side, or even better, with him leading the way. He promises that the church will always prevail, that the gates of hell will never prevail against it. And when we are done on this earth, when our time on this earth is through, someone will take our place once more unto the breach, until that glorious day when Christ returns and takes all of us, believers, body and soul, to be with him in heaven for eternity. Come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.